Hear the word of the Lord for our meditation this day. From the Holy Gospel, Luke chapter 9, these words. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were transfigured before these three disciples. And Lord, even though they were afraid, and as Mark and Luke note in their Gospels, Peter, out of his fear, said that he wanted to stay on that mountain. He wanted to stay there and be in your glory. And yet, your voice came into the cloud, into the midst of that fear, and reminded us what true love is. It is listening to the voice and proclaiming the truth. Lord Jesus, help us this day, this Valentine's Day, to know the true meaning of love and what it means for us that you say to us, as the other Gospels say and as 2 Peter says, that you are God's Son, whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. So as we listen to you, we understand why we listen. So may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is interesting to me that Martin Luther, on his final sermon before he passed away, he spoke on Transfiguration Sunday, which also happened to be on February 14th, and did not once mention Valentine's Day. And it wasn't because of Hallmark. They weren't around yet. But I think it was because by the time that he was speaking, St. Valentine's Day had taken on an aura of this idea of romantic love, which really takes away the whole history of St. Valentine's Day. In 496, St. Valentine's Day became a church holiday, when the Pope decided that there was evidence for this Valentine of Rome, a priest and a martyr, had not only healed, but through his witness as a martyr, people understood the grace and the love of God. That his love for others, more than his love for self, had had an impact, so much so that the myth goes, that we don't know how much of this is true, but the idea was that this priest, this one who actually befriended the Emperor Claudius, that as he befriended him, he had a relationship with him, but he did something that was unacceptable. He tried to convert Claudius to Christianity. He had been jailed, according to history, because he was marrying Christians, and he was doing things for Christians that was not acceptable at that time in Rome. And so he was put in prison. During that time, he befriended Claudius. He made the mistake of trying to convert Claudius and was immediately, at that point, told he was going to die. And while he was waiting for his execution, for his punishment, the story goes that he healed one of the servants, a blind girl, and during that time as he was about to be executed, he wrote a letter to her encouraging her, and at the bottom it was signed, "From your Valentine." And that's where Hallmark started. But the whole history of Valentine's is about love. Not the romantic love that we make such a big deal of today in our society, even though that's important. It's about the love of someone who is willing to give their life for others. And I was thinking, how can I bring Transfiguration and St. Valentine's Day together? Because, you know, I always find it difficult when the church seems to be outside of reality. You know, that we try to be above it, you know. And the reality is that people in the world understand that February 14th is not the Transfiguration of our Lord, but it's St. Valentine's Day. So I was thinking, well, why not talk about the fact that love, as properly understood, is what the Transfiguration is all about, right? Because that is what God is doing as Jesus is transfigured before his disciples. Remember the context of this lesson? What's the context of this lesson? Do you remember where it shows up in both Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel? It's on the way to Jerusalem, and it shows up right after what? Peter's confession, right? Where Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter responded, what? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In Matthew's gospel, it says, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not given to you by man, but by my Father who is in heaven," right? And it was after that great confession that Jesus laid out for his disciples in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 9 there, he lays out for his disciples what's going to happen to him. And it's important to note this because he tells them, you know, "I'm going to be turned over to the chief priests and elders. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to suffer and be killed, and on the third day rise again." And what do they say? Especially Peter. "No, Lord, that'll never happen to you." And what does Jesus say to Peter? "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Must have given Jesus great joy when he heard that wonderful confession of Peter, right? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It must have been one of those teaching moments. Have you ever been a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a confirmation teacher? Maybe you do this as a profession. And someone gets it, and you go, "Yes!" You worked really hard to get to that point, and it's like, wow. It's a whole theme of Epiphany, right? We're at the end of Epiphany. The whole theme of this Epiphany moment when it all becomes clear. And the light bulb goes on, and everybody gets it. And it's such a wonderful thing when you feel that. Yes. And so I think this is kind of like the second chance for Peter. He got it. Then he didn't. And he gets it again. Right? Because Jesus takes him and James and John up on that mountain. And there the Bible tells us he's transfigured before them. And whether you're reading Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, Luke's gospel, or 2 Peter chapter 1, that's the accounts of this particular event in Scripture, whether you're reading any of those, the story is the same. He shines with a glory that they try to describe. They try to put it into their own words. It's always amazing how each one tries to explain this. But in Luke's gospel, what does he say? It's like a flash of lightning. How many of you remember flashes of lightning when you're a little kid, when you're just really in the dark, you know? One time, I'll never forget, we had this terrible storm, and all the power went out. And it was really, really, really dark. No night lights, no nothing. And when that happened, the power of the lightning was so amazing to me. Because it was, you know, when there's other lights in the house, you don't really get to see. But when there's no lights and that lightning hits, It's phenomenal. And so Luke expressed it by saying it was like a flash of lightning. And so Jesus is transfigured before his disciples. I love this story because he goes on to say that they were kind of sleepy. And it's the Bible uses the term, and Mrs. Hart referred to it in the children's message, that they became fully awake. Not just partly awake. Not just kind of like, but fully awake. That's a unique term, fully awake. That means that this is no dream. This is no, you know, we're in a daze here. This is fully awake, fully conscious. And they noticed his glory, and they noticed the glorious splendor of those who were with him, Moses and Elijah. And what's amazing to me is that as they do this, Mark actually says this in Mark's gospel. It says that Peter said this because he was afraid. Luke just summarizes and says he didn't know what he was saying. But what did he do? He did what we would do. You know, there's certain people that react different ways to fear. You ever notice this? If you put someone on the spot, sometimes there are people with, and I know this is hard to believe for some, but there are people in your midst that when you put the spotlight on them, they will say nothing. They will clam up and they will just look at you and they will stare you down. Any of you know people like that? And then there are other people, when the spotlight turns on them suddenly, who will say the first thing that comes to their mind. I know it's hard to imagine, but your pastor's kind of like that. It's a weakness, but it's also a strength because I will never be tongue-tied. Or very seldom. How many of you know people like that? Okay. And Peter, out of Peter, James, and John, we kind of get an indication from other stories that we hear about Peter that he was kind of like that, right? When the spotlight came on Peter, what did he do? He said the first thing that came into his mind. That's why Mark is so nice to him and says he didn't, you know, he was scared. And he says, well, it's great that we're here, Lord. We'll build a tent for you. And we'll build a tent for Moses. We'll build a tent for Elijah. Why? What's behind what he's saying? He wants to stay on the mountaintop, right? How many of us want to stay on the mountaintop? I mean, I'm not telling you something. I mean, you've probably heard this story so many times, you probably thought the same thing. But I want to concentrate on the next little part because this is what I want to share with you that I think is appropriate to tie transfiguration to Valentine's Day. Because the next thing that happens is really important. Because what happens next? Those of you who have your Bibles with you, what happens next? A cloud appears during this event just after Peter says this. And the cloud does what? Envelops them. It was a fog, right? What does a cloud enveloping you mean? Any of you been driving where you just can't see right in front of you because of fog? Someone talked about when Laura and I were in Chicago, we wanted to go up into the tower and see Chicago. And when we were there, it was raining a lot. And you could look up there and you could just tell that if you were going to go up to the top, all you would see is clouds. And yet, you know, you hear stories of people that went up when it was on a clear day and they could see for miles and miles and miles. And yet when the clouds are there, it's all you get to see is the glass. And I'm sure it's nice, but, you know, it's not worth paying to see glass. And yet, for many of us, we, in this world today, many people are living in a cloud, aren't they? Because what's the reaction to the cloud? What does the Bible say is the reaction to the cloud? When the cloud enveloped them, the Bible says they were afraid. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that there are many people that are around you that live in your neighborhood, maybe family, friends, people you work with. There are many people today that feel like they're in a cloud. They feel like they are surrounded. They feel like they're closed in on, and they are scared. You believe me? I felt that way. There are times when you just feel like you're, you know, it's like driving in that fog. It's like driving where all you can see is just this little tiny bit in front of you. And it is scary. And there are people that are around you that are living in this cloud, and they're scared. And yet what is so amazing to me, and this is what I really want to ask you this question, have you ever thought about this, is that the voice that we hear, the voice of pure love, the voice of the God who said when Jesus came out of the Jordan River at his baptism, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased," with Matthew, Mark, and 2 Peter 1 say the same thing. "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." The great St. Luke, the physician, the Greek, summarized it by saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen." I personally think on Valentine's Day we ought to use the first one. "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." The cloud doesn't dissipate, doesn't go away. The voice comes from within the cloud when they're still in the cloud and says, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Far too many people today, and this is one of the things that frustrates me, is that when they think of God's love, they think that they have to get through the cloud, through the fog, through the fear, through all these things before God will love them. Have you not met people like this? And boy, it just, as a Lutheran pastor, it so frustrates me. But you can't react by saying, "How can you believe that?" You can't react that way, right? It doesn't work. But can you understand how frustrating it is? When people think they got to get out of the cloud, they got to get out of the fog, they got to get out of the fear, they got to get out of all this stuff before God will say to them, "You are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." You know how frustrating that is? A long time ago, I told you that I believe God wanted Cross Resurrection to be a place where His love would be experienced, where His love would be would be communicated, where His voice would be heard, and that we would share what we hear. And I use the acronym, "Let others view eternity." Love, let others view eternity. Oh, brothers and sisters, you are viewing eternity today because you know the truth. The truth is that God speaks into the clouds in our life. He speaks into the fear in our lives. He speaks into the negative things that we experience in our lives. He doesn't want us to get through these things and clean ourselves up. He doesn't want us to get through these things and work our own way out of it. He wants to speak to us right where in the midst of it. He wants to heal. He wants to show His power. He wants to show His light. He wants us to see the truth of His pure love and communicate this to people who are in the cloud. And I'll tell you something. If you ever want to see cloud or fog disappear, then shine the light of Christ into the midst of it. Shine the light of Christ. Be the voice. Be the voice. I don't know why God doesn't just do what He did on the Mount of Transfiguration, do what He did on the shores of the Jordan River. I think that'd be far more effective. Don't you? Don't you think if every time you were doubting, the clouds would be ripped apart and the sky would be open and God would say, "You are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Don't you think that'd be much more effective? You don't? I think there would be a ton of conversions. I do. But for whatever reason, God has chosen not to do that. He has chosen to use you and me to be His voice. You and me to reflect His light. You and me to show the love to let others view eternity, to reflect the love of God, to be transfigured before the people who come into our lives so that they can see the love of Christ. Brothers and sisters, if you're willing to do this, you can help people. You can help those who are feeling like they're in the midst of the cloud and they are so afraid. You can, if you let them view eternity by showing your faith, by doing what Hebrews said, by being bold and courageous to show the faith that you have been given, you can be of great benefit because the Lord wants to shine through you. He wants you to shine like stars in the universe, but He tells us. He wants you to reflect His light. When I was growing up, I used to think of the transfiguration like this, and this is a very oversimplification, but I used to think of it like Jesus had one big zipper. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, He went, zip. See? And I think it's time that God wants to unzip and to let people see. Let people see the light. Let people know the love. Because what a better time than Valentine's Day to let people know that it's not about romantic love, but it's about agape. It's about a love that God had that He would give His only begotten Son, the one whom He loves, the one whom He has chosen, that He would give His Son to die on the cross for you and for me, so that people could know that even in the midst of the cloud, He wants them to know, you are loved. You are chosen. You have the promise of everlasting life. You have the gift of eternity. Let others view it so that they can know the power of God's pure love. If you're up to the task, the Lord can use you in powerful ways. Do you believe me? He wants to shine His light into the lives of so many people. And all He's asking us is to listen to Him, to hear the voice, and to share this wonderful truth in our words and in our deeds. Amen. Happy Valentine's Day.